Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Benwick and Steve Lurkwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. I'm your host, Teague Benwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Steve Lurkwin. Steve, good to be back.
Hey, it's good to be here, man. I say this every time that I'm pumped for this? It's like, it doesn't matter how your week goes, I'm just pumped for these. And the guest we have on, unbelievable tonight, is no exception to that. Just a couple of great ones here.
Yeah, I'm very excited for tonight as well. So we have two guests on, eight state titles between them. So I'll let you people out there do the math. But introducing first here, he is a four-time state champion from New Lisbon, coached at New Lisbon for 22 years. He wrestled for the Badgers as well. Had one loss in his high school career. I'm sure we might address that a little later on. Talking about none other than Brian Slater. Brian, glad to have you.
Thanks, Steve and Teague, for having me. I appreciate it. Excited.
And the cool thing about this, too, is for those of you who have been listening for a while, you know, I'm from Mauston. So essentially, we grew up probably 5 to 10 miles away from each other. And yeah, like
very close.
And like, it just hit me too before the podcast that you started your wrestling career around the same time my mom started working at the clinic as well. So I just assumed you've known. It seems like everyone knows my mom in New Lisbon.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And introducing a second here, four-time state champion from Two Rivers. He will be wrestling at Little Rock College next year, joining his brother Joey and Paul, who will be a grad assistant there. Not only a man of many titles, but many names as well. Goes by Maddie on social media, Maddie B. Fatty. And from our sources at home, he's called Caveman. Talking about none other than Maddie Bianchi. Maddie, glad to have you on.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm excited.
Nice. So explain the caveman. What's up with that?
That was, unfortunately, I was a very messy eater when I was younger, and I always seemed to get food everywhere. Like, I always got syrup, like, in my hair when I ate pancakes. I don't know how it happened, but then, yeah, one day, one of my old youth coaches came to me with a sweatshirt, said caveman on the back, and I'm like, I guess this is my name now, so I've been rocking it.
Well, there's a little bit added to that, caveman, but it had to do something with you not wearing socks either.
What was up? Oh my gosh, yeah, when I was little too. Never.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot more. We got a lot more, buddy. You're good.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man, when did they ask my parents?
We're just grateful to have you on, considering we probably butchered your name two or three times in the history of the show, but
yeah,
that's all right. Yeah. You know, everyone always gets it wrong.
Well, here's the thing, Maddie, I know I had it right multiple times, but I was so unsure of myself, and I was always calling you Maddie Bianchi, and all that. I would hear somebody else pronounce it and they'd say Bianchi, and I'm going, maybe I'm wrong. So I'm just going to say it how they say it. So we do apologize for that, buddy.
No, it's all good.
Something like Slater, that's pretty easy to pronounce.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one.
I just figured this out. If you took one of these guys, like, let's just pretend one of them didn't win any of them, and then the other one only won one, so that one state championship has more than you and I combined.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Right.
More, that'd still be one more like than sectional appearances I've had too. So we're just going to go down that rabbit hole. So guys, we'll get right into it here. And we just kind of decided before the show that Maddie's going first on this. I wish we could have had a wrestle off for it, but
you could have pulled all your coins.
Oh boy.
But we'll start off with you, Maddie. Let's hear from day one of wrestling. What's your wrestling story?
So basically I saw all my brothers doing it, and pretty much whatever my brothers did, I would just copy them. So I was running around the mat, and we started at this club, X Factor Elite, and I would run around the mat in my diapers at like 3 years old. And then 4 years old, I finally got my own wrestling shoes, and it was, it kind of took off from there. I was having fun. I think I pooped my pants at practice only once, so that's good. but it was always having fun and always hanging with my older brothers. So I think that kind of helped me in a little bit, because I was always wrestling with the older guys then, because it felt weird for me to wrestle with younger guys, because I would always wrestle my brothers at home. So it was just kind of natural to go with the older guys.
Mm-hmm.
Started off not like the super best. I won those youth tournaments and I was like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And then sixth grade is where it really hit me, where I was like, that's when I saw my one of my older brother, Paul, I saw him having success in high school. And I thought, oh my gosh, like you can really do something with this sport. So sixth grade is where the flip kind of switched, where I used to drag going to practice. And then I turned into, I need practice. I want practice. And because I want to get better, I want to win more matches. And then after that, sixth grade, I won my first kids Greco national championship. And that's when I thought, wow, I can compete at a good national level. Even if it's just kids, it's going to be kids I wrestle probably throughout the rest of my career. So I was super pumped after that. And then that just made me want to wrestle more and more. And I started cutting out other sports. I used to, you know, try other sports. Like every kid tried, I feel like, soccer when they were younger and like all this other stuff and baseball. And I just said, no, I'm not doing that. I want to do wrestling like year round now. So that's what I started doing. I would even leave early from football practice to go to wrestling practice. So it was really early that I decided I really liked wrestling. I really wanted to pursue it. And seventh, eighth grade year, I started winning state titles in youth and making kind of a name for myself, because my brothers already kind of did that for me. So I had a nice clear path, but it was also like the pressure kind of too, because in eighth grade, I remember I'm walking up. It was just a little middle school tournament, like nothing big. I'm walking up to the table and these wrestlers looked at me and they asked, hey, are you going to be the 4-time state champ? And I thought, what? Like that wasn't even, I mean, I thought about that before, but it kind of hit me when someone actually asked me about it.
What grade was that?
That was eighth grade Someone asked me about it. Yeah. And, and then moving into freshman year, I was like, man, yeah, that's one of my goals. I want to be a 4-time state champ. Like Paul had 3, which was incredible. And it was always great to have them as like a good example. And I could take what they were doing and I could use the good things out of it and also see their mistakes that they made and kind of cut those out to kind of perfect my path, but also make it my own. So freshman year, everyone's telling me to go 106 because they say that's how you got to start off. Every time, look at Hunter Marco, like 4-time state champ, he started off at 106. And or Jens Lance too started off at 106. And those were like the top guys. But I was a little bigger coming in and I thought, no, I'm gonna go 113, and went through the season, lost I think 6 matches that year, but it was to pretty good guys like Eric Barnett, Caleb Gross, who were all multiple time state champs. And, but I remember being at a practice then, probably right before regionals. And it was, at Aspen Wrestling Academy. I switched over clubs at the time. And then, I'm wrestling with this kid and he looks at me and he goes, so you think you're going to qualify for state? And I looked at him, I'm like, I think I'm going to win it, honestly. And then that was just, my confidence was soaring and I won it then. And then after I won that, I bulked up a little bit and I said, okay, I don't have to do these little weights anymore. I can get bigger now. And me and my brother started getting the lifting really good. And then unfortunately, Joey, he lost. And so my freshman year when I won, it was exciting for me. But my brother lost, and unfortunately my teammate also lost. We had three guys in the finals. So that night was, it was pretty okay. Like I won, but then I went and just sat in my hotel room. Cause I mean, when you see your teammate and your brother lose, it's kind of hard to celebrate after that. But sophomore year.
Was Holmes the other teammate that year?
Yep. Cody Holmes. Yeah. He was, yeah, he, so we were always wrestling together, going to down to Askren Wrestling Academy together and just doing stuff in the off season. And then I went to Fargo. I didn't do much. I think I went like 1-2, really horrible. I was losing weight wrong. That's when I decided I'm too big. I need to go up weight classes. And then I bulked up to probably in the 45s, like right after making 113, I went flying up. And that was a big stepping stone for me. And then we started the season again, and we were just like, me, Joe, and Cody, we said to each other, we can all win state this year. We can all do it. And with all of us, we were all in the weight room. We had a weight room class, actually. So we were all lifting together almost every day, like four times a week. And it was just, we were always together working hard, doing stuff like on snow days, like go somewhere else to go practice and stuff. We were always together. And yeah, that our goal that year was to be a trio and win. And it was especially important because my brother Joey got a little bigger, so he didn't have to wrestle Bryce Bosman, who was three-time state champ, really good wrestler, and who they wrestle each other every year in the state finals. And I saw that he was the same way as me, and I loved it, honestly. I was like, yes, I have someone who I'm going to go for. Because my freshman year, I didn't know anyone. People kind of knew me, but not really. So it was kind of just up for grabs. But coming in the sophomore year, a lot of people knew it was just going to be like me and him. And they wanted to see if my state champ was just my freshman state champ was just a fluke or not, or just like, oh, he got lucky with an easy bracket. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to be tested and I'm going to show people that I'm the real deal. And so that was fun, super fun, like being able to win. And like I had people coming up to me saying that they had bets placed and I won that money. And it was awesome. It was such a blast. But then being able to see my teammate win before me and then my brother win, and me and him gave each other a big hug. It was so like revealing, or like the pressure was just off finally that we all won. And it was just, that was like one of the best nights of my life. So that was fun. And then, going into Fargo, I decided to, I'm not going to do any more folk style after the high school state championship. I was just going to go straight into freestyle and Greco because of how poorly I did the previous year. And it worked out for me very well. I placed at Fargo. I took third in freestyle and I took fifth in Greco. And that was a huge thanks to Coach Cleve, the state team coach, and Max Askren too. They really took me under their wing, and I learned really how to be super coachable and stuff, and just, you know, focus on certain things. So that was a huge stepping stone. And then I unfortunately broke my wrist.
Might be a bit of a deeper question here, but what was your definition when you wanted to be more coachable? What did that mean to you?
It's basically took like, it was more of like an open-minded thing that I'm not the best in the world and I don't know exactly what I'm doing to be best. And I was looking at guys who did stuff that I wanted to do, like Max Askren, D1 national champ. He knows what it's like to get there, and just taking everything in because I never know when I'm going to need it. And especially with like Coach Cleaver, like we did a little camp before cadet national duels. And I remember drilling the same move over and over again for an hour and a half straight, and it sucked and it was boring, but it was a huge deal because I did it in the matches, and it helped me out a lot. And just being able to see, because they see your wrestling, you know, more than you, honestly. Sometimes they can see what you're doing wrong, like your habits, a lot easier than you think. So just, yeah, being able to take everybody's consideration in and then absorbing it, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. So that was a huge deal for me. And then, so moving into my junior year, I unfortunately broke my wrist. And I believe it was right after Super 32. I had a good tournament. I didn't place, unfortunately. I made it to blood rounds, but it was a huge deal. I felt amazing. And the next week I broke my wrist in practice, and I didn't realize it was broken for a while, but I just kept taping it, Biofreeze, ibuprofen, because I thought, no, I can just toughen it out. And by the end of the season, it was just limp the whole time. And I would be in practice, and my practice partner, thank God, would be like safe with it, because he could tell I was hurting bad. He would touch it and I would like kind of flinch, and he would lay off it. But it was a super tough year with that. And I had to change my wrestling. When I was in my stance, I kept it back kind of in between my legs and would really only wrestle with my left hand, and I couldn't ride guys. So I had really close matches. Like my quarterfinals, I got put in my back and I couldn't turn them. So I had to do all these takedowns, and thank God I won the match. But yeah, I had really close matches. It was super frustrating all year. And I told my mom, cause like COVID happened, so I'm like, we might as well go check it out. And they were like, yeah, this thing's broken, you need surgery. I'm like, oh shoot, that's not good. And then, so I get surgery in May, and then COVID happens, and I'm in the cast. I couldn't do, and it was horrible. Like just sitting here, not being able to lift or anything. I obviously put on some weight, cause like, you know, I can't do much. And I got so frustrated. I started like riding bikes, and me and my buddy did like a 50-mile bike ride one time, cause I was like, dude, let's just do it, cause I'm bored. And, so we did stuff like that. And I started taking lifting a lot more seriously too, because I could only do so much. So I was basically just hitting legs and abs like crazy. And then I could do whatever I could do with my wrist, I would do. And I really took a love for lifting, and I still do have a huge love for it now, because I see the benefits in it, like having strength in matches. And also it makes you look kind of cool. Like, you know, if you have veins popping and stuff. Right. And so I really took a love for that. But my wrist was still affecting me, because it turned out to be a non-union break, which means the bone will never go back together. And it's the main bone that helps you bend your wrist back and forth. So I have a screw in there, and it never really got back together. So it still was a problem starting my senior year. This year, I was wearing a club and I was doing what I could do. And then I went to one of those like non-WIA tournaments with the club, and I lost a match, and I got so frustrated. I said, I'm not wearing this anymore. So I threw it off, and then I started taping my wrist normally. Me and my trainer, who's helped me a lot like throughout the years, I'm so glad I had her with me. We started doing exercises to get my grip strength back, and I got back. So then I was able to hit my tilts again, which was my bread and butter kind of this year. Just getting on top, hitting those tilts, and yeah, just fought through it. Still have the tape wrist. I think it's going to be my thing throughout, because it's pretty much better now, though. It's just going to be one of those things, you know, you have like some people have like a bad back, you know, I'm just going to chill with the cool wrist tape like my whole life, I guess. But it's pretty much back to normal. I don't really feel any pain in it anymore, but yeah, it was tough to fight through that, but it also helped me gain a lot of mental toughness, seeing that, hey, I was able to do this. I can do all these other things. And I think that mental toughness of through that year is really going to help me in college, because I know like college can be brutal for a lot of people. I see a lot of people burn out, and I just know I'm not going to be one of those guys. And yeah, I was able to get the job done, win the fourth state title. Not how I wanted to. Obviously, I wanted to do it in the Kohl Center. But Adam's Friendship put on a great thing, like as best as they could for sure. And it was fun, fun time. But yeah, here we are now. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the future. I feel like I got a long career ahead of me still.
Teague, it's crazy. I think if I'm getting the years right, he's saying his junior year, he wrestled the state tournament with a broken wrist. And I'm looking at the guys you beat.
Charlie Stahl in the finals.
Yeah. Whoa. Right.
Yeah, there's a picture I have, and yeah, it's like me in a stance, and you can see my right wrist is just back on like my hip, because that's, and it's just like dangling there, and that's yeah, where I was chilling.
Wow, that's impressive.
Also, you might join a very rare club where it might just be you, where you won a state title on a 19-point tech fall.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't think it was gonna be that much, but I love to score points, and I was out there, and I saw my opportunity to score points, and I scored a lot in the first period. I'm like, let's go for it. Let's try to get it.
Needless to say, it worked out well.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, Brian, the floor is yours.
Holy cats, I started a long time ago. I don't even fucking remember. No, it was in the 80s. I think I was about first grade. Actually, New Lisbon never even had a youth program until the first year I started it. So we had Coach Bud Olson, which was my coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach now too. And the George Martin. Come around to classrooms, handing out flyers. And I took it home to my parents and said, hey, this sounds pretty cool. At the time, you got ribbons. There weren't medals. So right. It was like, hey, we could try to do something. So started in first grade, went to my first practice. It was on a Saturday morning, I believe. I thought it was pretty cool, but I started getting my butt kicked all the time. I mean, in and out all the time. You know, and it was kind of cool back then. We didn't have clubs like they do now, like Askren's and stuff like that. So we would take a bus as a team, as a youth team, to different tournaments on the weekends. So I would say it was probably until my fifth grade year, I finally started to get better at my fifth grade year. I hated to lose. So I just working harder technique, like Maddie said, it's huge. It's important. A lot of kids don't realize that, but repetition. So we just started doing more repetition. Back then too, we had to qualify for freestyle state. And they didn't even have a folk style state until I think my fifth grade year. And then you didn't have to qualify for that. You just went to it. So I finally made it. I think I finally qualified my fifth grade year for state freestyle. And I won it that year. I won Northern Plains that year. And then I went to Japan with Larry Marchianda and Team Wisconsin over there. And we were able to wrestle in like the Grand Nationals, they call it, or something like that. And I went undefeated over there. So it kind of, I think that kind of just accelerated it more. Like you said, Maddie, when you start to win, you want that all the time. Then it becomes more of a habit. From there, I believe three state folk style state titles and three freestyle titles, two Greco titles. And back then we did not have Fargo. It was in Missouri. I went there, didn't place. I think I lost my first match, won like 10 in a row, didn't place. Eric Guerrero was in my bracket that year. He won it. And then, yeah, so kind of crazy.
You,
but then my freshman year.
You better tell these young guys who Eric Guerrero is. We're kind of loud. Teague didn't even know.
Yeah, I mean.
I brought up a world famous Lincoln McArabee one time, and Teague didn't even know who that was. Yeah. I was.
What? Teague, come on.
Maddie, do you know who Lincoln McElravy is?
No, but judging by the last name, he sounds like foreign.
he's a pretty successful guy. Actually, I looked up to him a lot because he was in college when I was in high school. Three-time NCAA champ. He got beat once in the NCAA finals for Iowa. Great guy. Still a nice guy now. But yeah, so Eric Guerrero, three-time NCAA champ for Oklahoma State. He was an assistant coach for Oklahoma State for years. Now he's the RTC coach at Oklahoma. He was on an Olympic team too. So he won it that year. I didn't cut any weight. I just went out there and wrestled. I said, what the heck? Let's just have fun. And I want to say it was my spring of my eighth grade year. My coach, Bud Olson, said, hey, what are your goals for next year? So I wrote my goals down. And at that time, he thought I was crazy because I put on there four times state champ. You know, he'll say to this day, he actually has them. I have a copy here somewhere. He gave me a copy of them. He was telling everybody else, like, who is this young kid that he knew I was okay, but he's like, he thinks he's going to win a state title as a freshman. You know, that doesn't happen often, right? It was Matt Hanuki and then Craig Underwood won it. I think he was a two-time state champ when I was a freshman. So it doesn't happen often. And yeah, I mean, the coaches back then, yeah, cut weight, cut weight, cut weight. We used to cut weight like crazy. So I cut down, and I want to say it was my second tournament of the season, my freshman year. I had in the finals a kid that took second at state the year before, and he was a senior this year. So he was number one ranked that year in my weight class. And I believe I beat him like 5-2 in the finals. So that kind of kicked it off to where people started to recognize, okay, yeah, Brian's for real this year. Went to Bi-State, beat him again in the finals at Bi-State. Then just kept wrestling through the season. Ended up wrestling him in the state finals too and beating him in the state finals. So it was kind of fun. You know, it's kind of nice when there's not a target on your back. You know, that first title, everybody asks about it. And the first title is the easiest title. Maddie probably can contend that. I mean, it's just nobody, they know who you are, but they don't know who you are. And then when you get into that second, third, fourth year, you have people gunning for you, trying to beat you. That's their whole goal. And you know, my loss, I know Teague, you said something that probably you brought up, but honestly, it was the best thing that ever could have happened to me. We'll get into that after my sophomore year, but sophomore year, instead of focusing on wrestling freestyle, since I did a lot of it, I kind of thought, all right, I'm not going to try to wear myself out. I focused just on strength training. So I had a personal lifting coach that we did at old school. He was, you might remember him, T. Glenn Ormson. He had a pole, like a little shed. Like, I mean, he had Arnold Schwarzenegger pictures all up. He was a German too. So, I mean, it was hot. It was probably 100 degrees during the summer in his little room. And it was like a one car garage. And my teammates and I would go work out there all summer, three times a week, just focusing on strength. Don't worry about your weight. Get as heavy as you want to be. And then we can cut weight when we have to. So that's all I focused on during the summers. My sophomore year, come in, won a state title, I think, fairly easy that year. Then my junior year, I was working hard, but I wasn't working as hard as I should have been. And I realized that after I got beat that year, second tournament of the season, I ended up losing a match 2-1. Controversial call, whatever. It didn't matter. I lost, right? Like everybody tried to make a big deal out of it. And I lost. It's not a big deal. Like for me, I think it formed me who I was, or who I am today. Sorry. And if I went to lost that match, I don't know if I would have won that year because I just wasn't, I was too lackadaisy. I wasn't focused enough. And I think honestly, it's helped me in life too, further in business or whatever it is that, hey, you're going to have tough days. You're going to have, you know, you're going to lose. You got to come get up from it and see what you're going to do. So after that,
hold on.
Yeah.
Brian, do you remember who it was?
Who was it?
Yeah, I remember. It was John Lorenz from La Crosse Logan.
Okay.
He actually was on, I don't know if he was on a world team, but he was in Greco. He, I think, was ranked second at one point in the U.S. He got a lot bigger, quicker. I think he was like 97 kilos, roughly, somewhere on that when he was wrestling Greco. He beat me 2-1. And then Bi-State back then, everybody was talking about how it was going to, him and I were going to match up again, and we never met. He didn't make it to the finals. So I won. I beat Eric Bold, which was a pretty tough kid from Milton. I believe he won state that year for Division One. And then I went on and won a state title that year. I can't remember who I beat. I can't remember. But so, wait, I mean, going into that.
Hold on. You can't remember who you beat for a state title. You're killing
me. It's been 20 some years ago.
Wait, was that your junior year? I can look it up.
Yeah. My junior year. I don't.
Schroeder.
Lena. Yeah.
Yep. Lena.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Lena kid. And then, my senior year, I went on and actually beat Luke Bailey in the finals of Bi-State, which he was a two-time state champ for Richland Center. And then I became the first Bi-State champ ever. And then went to state tournament and a major kid from Minter Point in the finals. Cool story. I'll back up to my eighth grade year real quick. I always tell my kids when I was coaching this story, because Teague, you know, probably Eric Torkelson, Adam Friendship, two-time state champ in the finals, three times. Well, him and I were watching the state final in the field house in our eighth grade season. And both of them we look at each other and we're like, hey, we're going to be down here next year wrestling the state finals. He was D2, I was D3. So our freshman year, sure enough, he was in the state finals. I was in the state finals. He ended up losing, I think, in sudden victory to John Dexter. But I remember looking over in between my breaks during a match of the finals, and my coaches were yelling at me, but I was looking to see what his score was. But you know, we were best friends growing up, still great friends, but it was kind of an interesting story that, you know, and you talked a little bit about it, Maddie, about the mental side of it. Mental side is huge. You know, visualization, all that kind of stuff is, you got to visualize yourself doing it. And, you know, some people might think, oh yeah, that kid's kind of cocky. He thinks he's going to win a state title, but you have to believe it and you have to think that, otherwise it's not going to happen. So yeah, went on to win my fourth state title, and then went to, funny story, I was actually going to go to Iowa. Went down, had a great meeting with Dan Gable. And then about a week later, Matt Hanuki called me and he's like, hey, would you be interested in going to Wisconsin? I'm like, sure, why not? And then Coach Barry Davis came over, and it was instantly contact. Barry, when, you know, we just had a connection right away. So I ended up going to Madison. I think my biggest downfall is New Lisbon's a tiny town. Steve, you drove through it. Teague, you know, I think it was Madison was a little bit too big for me. Coming out of a small town, going to Madison, it was a big college. So I think I wrestled two and a half years and just told Coach Davis, I'm like, I just don't think I can do this. My mind wasn't right. Maddie, you talk about a little about burnout, and, you know, I was kind of at that point after I won that four state title. I was like, all right, a big relief because you get all off your chest. I love to practice still, but I didn't love competing anymore, which was kind of weird. You know, it was usually you don't like practicing, you love competing. So I talked to Barry about it, and he's like, no, I support you 100%, whatever you want to do. And, you know, you're always welcomed here. So we still have that great friendship now. And actually Barry works for my nutritional company now. So, and another funny story is Dan Gable, we have a product that he endorses. So,
oh, nice.
Is it Gable Gold or?
Yeah. Gable Gold. Oh, so
take a little plug. Go ahead.
kind of funny story, but
Hey Brian and Teague, this is a great opportunity for my first trivia question. As Brian brought up Barry Davis, right? So Barry Davis, yep. Here you go, Teague. Barry Davis is recruiting Brian. He comes to his school, and Barry Davis and Brian are in the Phi Ed class, and Barry beats Brian at a game while he was up visiting for a college recruiting visit. What game did Barry Davis beat Brian at?
What? Okay, well...
After you did your homework.
I search my newspaper articles, man.
So is this like a Phi Ed game? Like I need like some narrowing now.
It is a Phi Ed game. It's a game that that wrestlers shouldn't be playing.
Was it 20? Was it 21 or horse?
Well, you're right. There you go. I gave you too much. It was horse.
Yeah. That was kind of funny. I never would I thought. And I think he beat me on a 3-pointer too.
Well, I would have been really floored if you said he dunked it.
Yeah. No, not quite.
Steve, where did you get that from?
Well, I'm not going to tell you my sources. I know some people.
Okay.
He's got connections.
You know that. We should get back to some more stuff that maybe Inside Source told us about Maddie.
Oh, no.
Oh, your mom's awesome, buddy.
Yeah, she's sometimes good.
Sometimes good.
So, I'm sorry. Keep going, Brian. I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there and this is for both of you guys. Brian, can definitely share some more about your coaching career as well. Because you had some great success there. For both of you guys, was there a match? And I know it was kind of ironic that both of you in eighth grade, and that was one of my questions I was going to ask you, is when did you guys start thinking like, hey, I can win state titles? And for both of you, it was right around the same time. It was eighth grade. But my question is, was there a match at state where both of you were like, oh no, you know, I'm not talking the losses. I know, Maddie, you wrestled at the Cheesehead and, you know, took some losses against some great wrestlers there. And, And Brian, I was taking a look at your scores, and I can look at the scores, close ones, but sometimes, you know, you can win 3-1 and it can be a, hey, you really dominated that match. Was there a match at State where you, either one of you felt like, man, I kind of survived that one?
Could I go?
Yeah, I got two, actually.
So my sophomore year, yeah, like everyone was just saying like, oh, it's going to be you and Bryce Bosman, like you guys are going to go at it. But my quarterfinal match, I actually got put to my back right away. And I was down 5-0. And then I came back and I won 13-8. And like I had the newspaper people in my face. And I was just like, I need to get out of here. I need to like go reset. But I was like, yeah, you know, like sometimes stuff happens, but you got to recover. You got to wrestle full 6 minutes. And then my junior year,
who was that one against, Maddie, first?
That was against Dane Higgins from Milton, Medford. I believe. Or Medford, yeah, yeah, Medford. And then the next year, I had people in my face going, oh, are you the same thing you did last year? And I was like, why would you even say that to me? Like, dude. And then lucky enough, yep, I got put to my back, down 5-0 once again. And I remember getting up, and I just thought, man, no way. And then I looked at the clock. It said 5-0. I look at my coaches. And then they were like, you know, just breathe. Cause it was really early in the match once again. And I kind of, as I was going to get back in referee's position, I kind of like laughed a little bit. I'm like, here we go again, and, you know? And then, so, cause obviously I knew people were going to talk to me, and I'm pretty confident in my gas tank and my ability to come back in matches, just cause it's just the way I wrestle. I'm going to go full 6 minutes. And I knew like, you know, he just got me on one thing. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get the win, but it was really close. I didn't win till like the last few seconds. It was 7-7. I tied it up and then I put him to his back in like the last 10. That was against Max Schmidt from, I forget where he's from.
Richland Center.
He's a good wrestler. He's known for his throws. And we wrestled since we were really little, and he always used to throw me then too. So it was funny. But those were the two matches. And then this year again, people were like, do not let that happen again. I'm like, guys, just don't even talk about it. Like, what are you doing? And then
wasn't even close.
Yeah. And I made sure there was not going to be any mistakes this year. So yeah, those were my two matches that were like, oh boy.
Yeah, I think I had won my freshman year. I think it was in the semis against a kid from Wrightstown, Muslim. He was a twin brother, and I only beat him 9-7, I believe.
Jeremy Melman's.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Teammate.
I darn it, dude. You took away one of my trivia questions. I was going to say Brian Slater's closest match at State was his freshman year in the semifinals against none other than. Yeah. Jeremy Melman's from Wrightstown. I'm sporting it.
Yeah. He was tough. He was way taller than I was. And he was just tough. He was a lot bigger too. So he was cutting a little weight, but
yeah, he was.
Ended up winning 9-7. And, you know, I would say my other one, probably my senior year in the semis. It wasn't really close, but the score wasn't. I just kind of did what I had to do to win. I didn't try to force anything. And, you know, I chose down, and nobody's ever held me down. So I just kind of sat there for about a minute and 30 seconds and then got up. But that was probably my two closest ones. But definitely my hardest and toughest one was my freshman year.
Kind of same question, but most memorable to you guys. I mean, I don't know if it fits the same one, but did you have one where it's like, you know, I can think back to my career and I have like one or two where it's like, you just kind of relive those. Do you guys have one in particular match that it's like, and it doesn't even have to be high school. It doesn't even have to be at the state tournament, but this one match just sticks out like, man, that was one of my best matches ever.
I would say my sophomore year state finals, because I was wrestling Bryce Bosman, you know, 3-time state champ, and the crowd was going nuts, and my teammate just won before that. So he gave me a big hug after it, and like I kind of gave him a hug, but I'm like, dude, like I gotta be focused for my match. That's good for you, but let me do my thing. And then this was my third time in a row wrestling him for the third week. So I knew he was like, you got to switch things up because, I mean, if it didn't work the first two times, then you're going to keep changing something. And I saw what he was doing right away. I was getting him on single legs and he started putting that leg down and he wrestled on one knee. And I was like, man, that's sneaky. And then, I knew I was going to get the scores I could with my escapes. And I did ride him out the week before, but I wasn't able to ride him out this time. And it was 1-1 and there's 18 seconds left on the clock. And I saw him kind of relax and just kind of like think like, oh, overtime, like, you know, like sometimes you telepathically to the other wrestler, just kind of like be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to wait till overtime. And I kind of felt like he was going to want to do that. So I just shot in like right away. And then I remember picking up the leg and we were like the only people wrestling at this time because the other two matches had finished. So, and this was like one of the most packed crowds in the Kohl Center. I think there was over 15,000 in there. And I pick up the leg and I hear the whole crowd go, oh, and I could feel, I felt my chest actually shake. And then I remember it was a single leg front trip. I saw flashes because we were right next to the camera. And I caught both his legs and I hear the whole place just go two. And like, it was so loud. And I look up at the clock and there's still 11 seconds left. And like my coach are going, but then they go, wrestle, keep wrestling. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, there's still time on the clock. And I just like, you know, dropped to a leg, got the points and I got up and I did my cool backflip that I love doing after the thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I just did that. And like, it was pretty crazy. And I think there's a picture, like, I didn't remember it kind of like as I ran off the mat, I'm like, what the heck did I just do? And like, I think there's a picture of me and my eyes are like blacked out. Like you seriously can't see anything. And it was so loud in there and it was so crazy. And then, oh my gosh. Yeah. But that was probably the most memorable one. And that's definitely going to stick with me probably forever. So That was probably my coolest one.
Two things. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm really impressed with all the detail that you like remembered from that, yeah. Even the outside stuff from the match.
Let's see if Brian has as much detail.
No, probably not. 25 or whatever years it's been, it's nowhere near as much as Maddie detail anymore. But I would probably say, my coolest one, I think, or the one that most memorable, probably going to be my bi-state fourth title my senior year is when I beat Luke Bailey from Richland Center. You know, he was a defending state champ from Division II that year. And him and I always had some good matches. And, you know, just it was cool being the first person. So I think it's, you know, that tournament, everybody kind of knows what bi-state is now. Pretty tough tournament back then. We had a California team that came. And then obviously Minnesota and Iowa, or not Iowa, Wisconsin team. So I think that was, kind of neat. I don't know. I think maybe there's only been four times by state champs right now or something like that.
And you were so, the first, you were yeah. The first four time. Wow. Awesome.
Was that at the Lacrosse Center at that time?
Yeah, it was at the Lacrosse Center still.
Was it on the stage?
Yeah, we had a stage. Yeah. Kind of the same setup.
T, I don't know. Am I hogging it all? I got all kinds. I could keep going with this.
Keep it rolling, Steve.
You bet.
Hey, I'm just sitting back and enjoying the show.
So, Brian, this one's mainly for you, but I think maybe you can maybe ask Maddie whatever you want. But so 25 years ago, we discussed that off the air, that your last state title was 25 years ago, right? I mean, which is crazy because you're a couple of years younger than I am. And I remember watching you win your fourth and I'm like, man, that young guy, right? So you're the young guy to me, but yet, you know, we won't even think about it. Maddie wasn't even born when you won your last title. So just all perspective, man, all perspective. But what's the biggest difference that you see? So 25 years later, the thing that has changed the most in wrestling is you've been coaching, for 22 years now, right? What's the biggest things that has changed in wrestling since when you won your fourth and now this year Maddie won his fourth?
I think a lot of it, even on like the college level, is the scrambling. A lot of it back then, there wasn't a ton of scrambling. It was more straight on and things like that. I think that's probably the biggest thing. It's just even coaching, teaching kids, okay, we got to keep scrambling. You know, you're toward, you don't give up two until it's given to whoever, to just keep going. And I think back, I want to say back then, and, you know, Steve, you probably know too, but there were physical matches back then. You know, I don't think it is as physical sometimes now. There are some, but I think it's, you know, more finesse now and more, hey, how can I'll call it funky. You know, what can we do different to try to score points? Back points is one of them. I mean, there's so many ways you can do it to where I want to say back when I was wrestling, it was more, you know, arm bars, you know, halves, things like that. To now you're seeing some, I'll call it funky stuff. And you're even seeing that on a, you know, college scene. I think Askren was the biggest one. I think we saw that at Bi-State when he wrestled at Bi-State, you know, so I would say, I think that's probably the biggest thing, is the scrambling ability in just the funky wrestling versus the head on that we used to, you know, basically do.
Yeah. And it's gotta be too. I think, Matt Hanuki, you know, they talk about, who is that guy that broke the 4 minute mile?
Roger Bannister.
Bannister, yeah. So Hanuki had the Bannister effect. You know, he won it. I think it was 1988, right? That he won the first 4-time state title. If I'm or 89, I can't remember. And then, you know, it took another 4 years for the next guy to do it.
Yeah.
And then you know, but now you think about it. Like, Manny, you were the only one this year, but next year there's three guys that are pretty. And then right after that, you look and there's. There's a couple more. You mentioned Scholes, but next year, I mean, the kind of Falls guy, Whiting, and
It's like Clayton Whiting, Tanner Gerber, and man, I can't think of the other one for some reason.
Cole Marco.
Oh, Marco, yeah. Right? Marco, yeah, Marco. That'd be the first family to have 2 4-time state champs. Is crazy, and I just think it's, you know, I'm seeing kids just come in. Like I came in as a freshman, and I was. Holy cow, I was a good middle schooler, but man, I got pounded left and right. Man, now freshmen come in and we're watching.
I think a lot of it too now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry not to interrupt. I think a lot of it now too is just having the opportunity, like Maddie, you said about the Askrens. Like that's huge for our state, you know, the state and guys to get better because you can compete against high caliber wrestlers. I think that has really changed a lot of it for, you know, Wisconsin too.
Yeah, I think it's definitely having those opportunities, like those clubs and everything, because you can look at it from the college level too. There's the younger guys are coming in and they're killing these older guys because a lot of these older guys didn't have those opportunities. They're literally just wrestling off skill and trying to learn what these young guys have already learned. You look at Keegan O'Toole, Parker Kackeyes, and they're freshmen. They took third NCAAs, beating these seniors who used to be so dominant. And you're like, well, how has that happened? Because these guys have been doing these like so-called funky things for years, and it's continuing. Like I look back at I'm because sometimes I see some of the youth wrestlers walk in and they're doing stuff that I'm like, I just learned that last year, and they're doing it when they're 10 years old. Imagine what they're going to do when they're my age. Like they're going to know so much. And I think Ben Askren definitely changed the sport a little bit with his unique style of, instead of just brawlic and strength and physicality, I think he switched it more to slick and kind of confusing, and where to you had to adapt. And now it's just plain old wrestling. That's just what's part of the sport now. So yeah, it's crazy to see like the youth guys coming in. And I think that's going to be the trend now, is just like, there's going to be some of those older guys who can continue to win, but the youth generations are going to take over, I think, eventually.
So you said it right. And you're perfectly mad, because you think about it, you're getting trained by, you know, Ben and Max, national champs and, you know, Division I college. Back in, you know, early 2000s, 90s, 80s, whatever, you didn't have that. You had to be in a college program to do it. So I think it's a huge advantage. And you're right, you're seeing it. I mean, Keegan O'Toole this year and Parker, just phenomenal seasons as freshmen. I mean, you know, they look tough and they look great.
Yeah. Brian, I got it. And this question's strictly for Brian. Hopefully you'll be able to answer it someday, Maddie, but I don't feel as bad asking this now, Brian, now that you're done coaching, but like honest answer here, would you say from the coaching perspective, because I know you coached Colin, you coached Trey when they were state champions. Mm-hmm. Would you say as a coach, is it just as satisfying or more satisfying to coach a state champ than it was to win it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's more satisfying, you know, to have a kid accomplish that. You know, it's always tough being a coach because you want to be out there, you know, telling them what to do, but they don't do it. But it's very satisfying just to be able to, you know, make them mentally think they can do it and then actually see them do it. I think it's very satisfying. I mean, I love that. I love to see kids being successful.
The thing I really liked about Collin's state title was I think he lost to Cornell at Bi-State too, didn't he?
Yeah, he lost to him. He was either at point or in overtime, you know, and then, you know, and he was tough. Cornell was tough and he did, you know, he wrestled a little unorthodox and we had to change things up when we came in to wrestle him at sectionals at that year and then at state tournament. But Collin he's by far the best technical wrestler I've ever coached. I mean, he was brilliant when it came to that stuff.
Yeah. And we should have put this as we introduce you, coach. Impressive. You have coached four state champions. You won the, New Lisbon has 8 state champions in school history. Brian has 4 of them and he's coached the other 4. So you're part of,
Wow, that's insane.
I didn't even think about that.
I should have had one more, but it was Colin's senior year and Miles Connor's senior year. Colin was 152, Miles was 160. He was winning by 4 points and got Gramby'd with about 7 seconds left. Ended up losing to, and then the kid that won the state title, he had beaten 3 times that year. So it still bothers him to this day, but so I should have had 5, but, right. You know, and then I had, Justin Pollock. He was a 2-time state champ. He was a tough kid. He was very good on his feet.
Yeah, coach, New Lisbon's got quite a history. I was looking through their, I found this, I don't know who made it, but all these stats and everything. And I was looking, check this out, T. So New Lisbon had their first state qualifier was 1977, right? Then they had 50. I mean, any of you guys can think of this. I can't think of a school with this good of a percentage from 1977 to 1996 until the next, I think it might've been your brother coach who broke the streak, but we won't rub it in.
Yep.
Had 15 state qualifiers and all 15 of them placed. Right. So think about that.
Yeah.
New Lisbon had a great, was it your brother that broke it in 97? Did you have an older brother or a younger brother?
No, younger brother. He was my first state qualifier when I coached. Gotcha. That must've been like 2001 or something like that.
Yeah. I'm just saying the first time, New Lisbon had a state qualifier that didn't go down there. That's impressive. That's called getting kids ready.
Coach Bud Olson, he was my coach. He coached for years and he drove all up from home and every day down to New Lisbon for school and for practices, but he was the big pusher.
So here's coach, you got great perspective and we got Maddie here. He's about ready to go off and go out and bring home some hardware for Wisconsin, right, Maddie? No pressure, but we're all cheering for you. What's that? And I'm not talking wrestling technique or anything like that, because we've just talked about how much it's changed from when you went to college to when now Maddie's going. But what would you say mentally is the biggest thing that other kids out there that are going to college or even Maddie, what's he got to prepare for mentally to take it, go in that next level?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's definitely helping Maddie with, you know, your practice partners that you have at Askren. You know, back in the day, I didn't have that. So when you walk into that room, you're probably going to be practicing with multiple state champions, right? Same thing when you get down to Arkansas, Little Rock there, you're going to be having 2, 3, 4 time state champs all the time. I think that was the biggest thing for me is going to UW-Madison, which was a huge school. You know, I'm a little town boy going to the huge school. So I think that campus down there, Little Rock's a little bit smaller, right? A little more laid back and
10,000.
Yeah. I mean, just stay focused and, you know, set your goals. I'm big on goals. You know, I think that was one of my failures is I didn't set a goal. After I won my 4 state title, I didn't really put a goal in place for myself for college. And I think that, you know, that was a downfall that now I look back on, I should have did that, But I think goals are huge. I do it in my business now. I make my staff do goals. I always made my kids do goals when I coached. You know, opportunities now, you got to take it. Like, you don't get to go back and do it. So, you know, just, yeah, make your goals, 4-time NCAA champ, whatever, 4-time All-American, you know, and just stick to the plan, and you'll have coaches down there to push you to get there, and practice partners.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like you said, like practicing with multiple state champs and stuff, like my older brother Paul is definitely, I remember him saying to me when I walked into high school, and he said, no one cares what you did when you were in middle school. No one cares. And I'm like, okay. So they've been saying that stuff to me my whole life. And honestly, I used to kind of get mad at them, but now it's like, it honestly has helped me. Cause I remember I won nationals in sixth grade and I thought I was the coolest guy. And they looked at me and they said, your bracket was easy, you know, stuff like that. Like, so it always like pushed me more to, I guess I kind of wanted to prove myself, like, you know, I can do what you guys are doing. Like I am good and stuff like that. But same thing with like walking into college, he said, no one cares what you did in high school. No one really cares because this is a whole new level. And he talks about his practice partner when he was at NDSU, that guy was a 5-time state champ and he's never placed at nationals because people don't care what you did in high school. So, it's like, it's cool that, you know, yeah, I got this. I did my goals and stuff, but yeah, going to college, no one gives a crap what I did. And, but I think it is going to be nice to that mindset is there, because then it's like, okay, yeah, I don't care, or you don't care what I did back then, but I'm going to prove you that I'm good. So it's kind of that reproving that you are a good, like a great wrestler, and you can beat these guys. And it's also a great mindset to have with other people who you're like, oh, well, look what this guy did last year. And it's like, who cares what he did last year? Like, you know, you're wrestling him now. So I think it's a great mindset to have on both levels, like whether you're trying to reprove yourself every year and whether you're competing against a good guy and you're like, I don't care what he did, I'm going to go beat this guy, you know, stuff like that.
And you're mentally set, buddy. It's awesome. Mental toughness. Both of you guys talked about mental toughness. Manny, what was the connection? I know obviously your brothers are there and that was probably your strong influence to go in there. What led you there? I mean, what do you like about the program? But even before that, what led Paul there? And obviously Paul was the feeder for Joey and then now you, but what led the Bianchi family to Arkansas Little Rock?
Joey, in fact, was actually the first one there. Oh. Paul followed him afterwards, but when I was at the Cheesehead tournament, Coach Arisman, who he wrestled at Oklahoma State, then he was coaching North Carolina, and then he got the head coaching job down in Little Rock. And I actually didn't want to go to Arkansas Little Rock because my brothers were there. I didn't want to go there because they were there. And I did that because, or I said that because, I didn't want people thinking I was just handing out free passes just because they were there and they were like, oh, they're just going to try to keep their brother happy. So they're going to give me like a scholarship to go there. And so I was like, I think I want to take my own path somewhere else. But, it wasn't until I really went down there. I met Coach Arisman and he said the right things. He said he wanted me for me, and he acknowledged that I'm not Paul, I'm not Joey, I'm a completely different wrestler, and that's what he loves, that we're all different, we all have different styles, we might have kind of like the same mindset, but we're different and unique. So I love that he saw that, and just I could feel his confidence and I have a lot of confidence that he's gonna help me accomplish my goals. And seeing North Carolina, they had a big success these past few years. And, Coach Arisman was definitely a huge part of that because he was an assistant coach over there. And I know for a fact he was a huge part of that before and now he's down in Little Rock. And, just to see what he did these past two years with his team was made up of freshmen, transfers, and like JUCO guys coming up from the lower divisions. And to see what he can do with guys like that is amazing. He really truly does make great wrestlers. He takes good ones and makes great ones. And I love seeing that. And the people he's bringing in, Coach Javi Maldonado, who he was at Chattanooga, and he brings a great, like, kind of funky aspect a little bit too. And they got Coach Chandler Rogers, who was a former Oklahoma State wrestler. So it's great to see him being able to bring in successful guys. And our RTC coach is Pat Smith, first four-time NCAA champ. It's amazing that he's has these connections, and we're able to see these guys who have had success. And it's great. I have just so much confidence that he's going to get me to where I want to be. And I'm just so excited to be there. But yeah, it was definitely the big thing was definitely confidence. And then I said I didn't want to go there because of my brother, but now that they're there, I'm actually glad they're there, because when I went down for like my visit, it felt like I wasn't even leaving home. I was going towards like a second home, because that's where some of my family already is. So it's I think it's going to be fun to have them there. And I'm super excited. I wanted to be in college ever since sophomore year, ever since college started calling me. I'm like, screw high school, let's go into college wrestling right away. But yeah.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Teague, I got here's a good time for trivia. You ready for it? What year did three Bianchi brothers, what year were three Bianchi brothers all on the same team?
All on the same team?
On the same team.
I mean, wouldn't it just have to be 2018? Matt, I mean, that was Maddie's freshman year, and I know Paul was a freshman. Yeah. Like,
that was
after
easy. Here I think I'm actually going to stump you. And I'm like,
there was actually two seasons where there was three Bianchis on the team. Cause when I was in, it was either eighth or seventh grade. We had Joey, Paul, and Tommy on the team, and
didn't even think. Yeah. I was thinking more of just the guest of honor. So, Manny, what are you doing? So you got, you know, there's a lot of guys around the state. Maybe they'll be listening to this. Some are going D1, some are going D2, D3, all different levels. And, you know, hey, they want to know what, obviously this year, you know, you're one of the best, right? So what is Manny doing to prepare himself mentally and physically to get himself ready and be competitive at college?
So physically, definitely you gotta be lifting. You cannot walk into college without lifting, because my brothers have shown me some of the lifts they do, and I thought I was lifting hard. I was waking up at like 5 a.m. every morning, going to the Y before school started. But so I thought I was like, I'm working hard, I'm gonna be ready. And they put me through some of Paul and Joey put me through some of their lifts when they came back, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is tough. And I thought I was ready, and you really just can't be ready for it, but you want to prepare as hard as you can. I haven't really been through a real practice yet with them, but they've told me about them and they sound brutal. But I think being in an AWA and Max Askren, who's been through those crazy practices, he puts us through some tough practices too. So I think practice wise, I'm going to be able to adjust pretty quick. I do love the hard practices. It's so satisfying walking out of them. And, but yeah, lifting, you gotta be lifting hard. You gotta be lifting heavy, and you can't, these lifts are not like do a set, go sit on your phone for 5 minutes. It's go, 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 go for like a straight hour 15
of yourself,
like,
and, Snapchat to yourself and send it out.
I will admit I do take pictures after my workout. Cause I mean, you got to see the progress, right? But
he's got to take pictures of the veins popping out.
Exactly. That's what it is. And then our YMCA is on the lake, on Lake Michigan. So sometimes there's cool sunrises and I take pictures of those, cause I'm like, wow, this is cool. But, also I think, getting other people to do it with you too. I've gotten my friends to do it with me. I'm like, guys, let's wake up early and go. And it's fun. having those guys with you, like you might not lift the same thing, but just to see them in the weight room with you is a huge step. So I say get your buddies and lift hard, and like lift hard as in you better be drip sweating when you're done, not just you barely sweated. It's like you gotta be working hard, and you gotta kind of be like grateful that the workout's over once you're done, not just, oh, that was okay, and then just walk out. No, you want to be sweating. And yeah, that's the big thing I say, lifting weights hard and going through those tough practices that push you past your limits and make you want to just be like, oh, I hate this kind of, but you know, that's what you're going to run into.
That was good. You know, those guys that do the curls for the girls, right? You can do a couple curls and get out of there. Hey, Teague, you ready for this? I'm going to add a new segment to our podcast. It's going to be called Question Speed Round. Maddie, I got 6 questions for you. You got to answer them as fast as you can. You ready?
I'm ready.
Favorite post weigh-in food?
PB&J.
Favorite takedown?
Blast double.
Favorite wrestler?
Shoot. I'll say Spencer Lee.
There you go. Good one. Classy guy. Favorite warm-up song right before you're going out on your match?
DNA by Kendrick Lamar. I'm big into rap.
Nice. I don't even know who that is. Brian, you know who that is?
I've heard of it, but...
it's a good album all around.
Yeah. I wouldn't play it around like little kids, but it gets me pumped up.
Sure. I mean, Brian, what happened to good rappers like Tone Loc and MC Hammer, right? I mean, come on. Yeah. What's up? Yeah. All right, here we go. Ready, Maddie? You, Tommy, Paul, and Joey in an MMA cage fight, round robin. Who winner takes all? Who is it?
Oh, boy. Honestly, I would bet on myself.
Now, keep in mind, your brothers are going to hear this.
I'd like to say myself because I'm confident, but if I'm being realistic, I might have to go with Tommy because he has actually trained some jiu-jitsu and done some MMA classes. So, and he's definitely the strongest out of all of us. So I think he might kind of clock us a few times.
All right, last question. This one's for your mom and dad, right? What's the worst thing you and your brothers broke while wrestling around in the house?
Well, there's been a lot, but I want to say there was this really nice, classy vase that, I mean, I think it was their own fault. They put it on a table next to a couch, and we were near the couch, and we bonked into it, and it went flying off and went just shattered on the ground. And nice. We were just like, uh-oh. But yeah.
Yeah. On that day, I probably should have put your mom in the MMA cage fight category. She probably would have won, right?
Yeah, she used to overpower us, but then we started putting on muscles, and then she like hit us, and we're like, that doesn't affect us anymore.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah, but believe me, buddy, let me tell you this. My mom is 5'2" and she can still take me.
I'm curious now. So can we subtract the last 2 questions and run those questions back on Brian?
Oh, sure. Here you go, Brian. Ready?
Let's go.
Brian, favorite post weigh-in food?
Yes, I'd always have chocolate milk with cereal.
Nice. Good call.
Yeah, kind of different, but I always crave chocolate milk.
Yeah. Favorite takedown?
I would say a blast double.
Blast double. Ooh,
same as Maddie, yep.
Well, I'm asking you this. What was your what's your favorite pinning hold? Because a little bit different then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big arm bar guy. So I did a lot of arm bars. Not as good as Spencer Lee does them, but.
Right. I don't think anybody does them better.
No, he's pretty phenomenal.
Favorite wrestler. Get one that these guys don't even know.
You know, I would say, you know, we brought up Lincoln McRaven. I mean, I kind of looked up to him when I was in high school. You know, I always looked up to Dan Gable, you know, things like that. You know, Ironside, all those guys back then.
Yeah. All right. Check out the big difference here, guys. Whatever Maddie just said for favorite song. Brian Slater, favorite warm-up song before you wrestle?
You know, it's kind of crazy because my wife and I talked about this not long ago, but when I ran in the mornings, I had to carry a cassette player. Maddie probably don't even know what that is.
Wasn't it like little tape things or something?
Yes. Yeah, I was like, you know, like that. And you couldn't flip the songs. You had to fast forward. And but I listened to a lot of like you know, AC/DC, Journey, Poison, Motley Crue, you know, things like that, Guns N' Roses. So I kind of listened to all that. Before a match, I really didn't listen to any music. I just, what I know now, it's mostly I meditated. I just kind of sat there in a zone, didn't really, you know, I just kind of sat there and stretched a little bit and meditated, just focused on my match.
Nice. Teague, so, I don't have a lot left. I just wanted to ask Brian. So you stopped coaching this year after 22 years. Great coaching career. Hopefully we can lure you back because we need more great ones. But what's next for you?
You know, I don't know. I think it's just time. I mean, 22 years is a lot of time. And I think it's time. At a certain point, you realize, you know, you got some younger coaches that want to take over. You know, I kind of, I've taken a lot of time for my wife and my kids and family. So it's time to kick back and relax maybe a little bit, not be wrestling every Saturday. I don't know what that means for sure 100% yet, but I'm sure I'll be involved at some point with some kids and things like that. But it's, yeah, I mean, it was time. It was, you get to that point.
Absolutely.
So I just had one thought. I was thinking about it like almost the whole time. Like when you guys told your stories, there was three common things I think that really brought everything together. One, you both flipped the switch at a very early age. Like I don't think I flipped my mental switch until a year ago, but
Have you switched it yet?
no comment. I'll plead the fifth there. But I would say that one is a little bit out of the control. Like if I have a fifth grader someday, I can't tell them, hey, you need winning to be an addiction. So I would say that's on you guys and your maturity at a young age. Number two, you both had to stave off different forms of adversity. And number three, I was going to try to calculate the amount of extra time that you guys put in, but it's off the charts. And number two and number three, just for everyone listening, that's completely in your control, how you react to adversity and how much extra time you want to put in. And I know I've been on cruise control for like the last 30 minutes, so I had to throw some two cents in.
It was good. You guys are good.
But I mean, it's totally true though, Teague. Like, you know, a lot of these, and this is what I try to tell my kids when I was coaching, it's the extra time you put in, whether, you know, there's a saying out there when nobody's watching, you put the time in. Well, it's true. You get up in the morning, like Maddie said, to go lift at 5 a.m. You know, nobody else cares but you that you're doing it and you're going to get better from it. You know, that's one of the big things that I did all the time. I always got up in the morning, went for a run before school or whatever to put the extra time in. And even if that's, you know, going to do technique or going to aspirins three times a week or whatever it is, you have to put the extra time in if you want to be great. You just don't wake up and want to, you know, be great unless you're that gifted of an athlete.
Awesome. Good stuff. Teague, if you have anything else, I can end. I forgot to ask you, I had all these sidebar trivia questions, but I forgot to ask you the original one that I had. So I think it's a two-part question. First one's pretty easy.
Hang on, just so we're all on the same page, like listeners and all. Like you said before, is trivia going to be our Margaritaville where we close with trivia?
You know, we didn't do trivia a couple of times. And I had people specifically saying, hey, where's trivia? You know, it's like, I have to say rights on every podcast. Oh, and I didn't. Hey, Brian, did you wrestle any Athens guys? There you go. I got
we,
it.
We brought up Craig Underwood.
Craig Underwood. Good. We got Athens in. I always got to get Athens in. I like the speed round. You guys, hey, man, did you like doing the speed round questions? That was fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that again. I think that's a good one. Pop it in. Oh, hey, just so you guys know, I did text Jeff Machek from Kakana. I said, hey, you got any questions for these guys? And he said, quote, legends forever. That's all I can say. So that's a state championship coach right there. We just had him on last week and he did a shout out for you guys. But so Teague, I think the first two-part question. First part's pretty easy. Between the three, obviously Tommy. Doesn't have a state medal, but he's the one that could win the MMA fight. So it's pretty cool. I was actually kind of glad to hear that, but how many state medals do Maddie, Joey, and Paul all have?
It's between the three of them. I mean, I know for sure eight, 'cause Joey was in the finals four times. Oh man. I mean, I feel like 12 is almost the gimme answer, but
12 is the gimme. You're going with the gimme. Now the hard one. Can you name them?
Name.
Robert, I mean, we got four with Maddie, right? And then you got, you know, go ahead. I'm seeing if you can name all 12 state medals with the Bianchi family.
Well, Joey has his three runners up and then a state title.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul. Oh man, I'm already gonna mix up if he was a two or three timer, but I know he has at least two golds. And then I'll just toss like a runner up in a third.
What do you got, Matt?
No, he was a three-time state champ, and then he took fifth his freshman year.
Nice. You know, it's got to be fun to be in the Bianchi family because the guy who takes the most ribbing is a guy who only won one state champ. Like, oh, you only won one state champ. What the heck's the matter with you? I mean, that's got to be pretty fun.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think about this in the long run, Maddie. People got to be already recruiting you guys for all four of you, five of you Bianchi brothers to move back to the same town because in, you know, 20 years, 15, 20 years or whatever, when you guys start having kids. That's when, you know, hey, I might have just hit something. Long-term recruiting right now. Be recruiting these guys. Hey, I got a house for you in my town. Come on back.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, well, Teague, I tell you, Teague, Brian, and Maddie, this was awesome. This is, and one of the great parts, I know Teague and I started doing this podcast together just over a year ago. Teague was doing it a year before me, but you know, I got to tell you, and this goes out to Brian and Maddie, but everybody we've had on and people listening, man, the wrestling community, especially in the state of Wisconsin, is awesome. I mean, every person we get on here, it's great. I mean, we could talk for hours and hours to them because it's just great people. And Maddie, we wish you all the best. We're going to be cheering for you. We're going to be watching at the NCAA tournament and just appreciate everything you're doing for the sport, but also for the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, sorry for the, was that my signal there? I was going to say, Steve, so you know how they say, like, if you do the same thing over and over again, it doesn't work. That's just insanity to keep doing it. So since I keep doing a different sign off every time, how about you get the sign off this round?
Oh, well, Brian, did you want to do a closing argument before we close it down?
I'm good. I just wish you the best of luck, Maddie, and you know, good luck in your future, and look forward to seeing you at NCAAs.
Thank you guys both for coming on again. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome, guys. Well, hey, we appreciate you, and everybody out, everybody listening, fantastic. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for being a fan for it, and appreciate you, Brian. I like Brian. What did you just say? I'm good. There you go. I think that's going to be my closing. My new clothes. Good?
Yeah. Good.